James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Welcome to Through the Bible, where our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, explains how we as Christians can take these words to heart and put them into practice in our lives today. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus as we continue our terrific study in the New Testament book of James. As you find your spot in God's Word, Greg and I will encourage you with stories of God's people who were doers of the Word in Central Asia.
Steve, this week our World Prayer Team is traveling on their knees through Central Asia, what we often call the Stan countries. You have Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan. I'm going to probably run out, even though I'm supposed to know this as part of my job. There are many of these countries that were part of the former Soviet Union prior to the fall of the Iron Curtain, and they achieved independence in the early 1990s. That, in many ways, was a good thing, but many of these countries lack very much in the area of natural resources. They don't have the economy.
Rule of law.
They are often very hostile of landscapes, very difficult places to live, and also many of these Stan countries have a great influence of Islam. And so you can imagine what it's like to try to be a Christian in a context like that.
And yet with all that bleakness and desperation in that part of the world, through the Bible is having an impact there. And we've got a couple of letters that we want to highlight specifically that talk about that.
Yes.
The first one is from the Kars language, and we actually don't know the country. Now, you hear Kars language?
Yeah. For us, that we call that Central Asian Russian, and it's based on a translation of the Bible that is called the Central Asian Russian Scripture. So we call it our Kars broadcast.
Got
but
it.
It's a kind of Russian that has more emphasis on reaching the people with an Islamic background.
Yeah. Now, for those of you that are on our World Prayer Team and getting our daily emails, you'll recognize these two testimonies. So the first one says, "I was recently imprisoned for 15 days because I answered a question about faith for a young man and told him about Jesus. I was also given a high monetary fine. I rejoice because while they may be able to shut my mouth, God's word on the radio will not be silenced."
And Steve, this is an element of our ministry that I want to highlight, that in these areas of the world where persecution is very high, we often hear from just a few listeners because it's very dangerous even for people to contact us.
Yep.
Imagine if the authorities searched his computer and saw he was writing to Transworld Radio or one of our other ministry partners. And we are there to give them encouragement. Imagine feeling alone in your faith and persecuted, and your family has disowned you, and you've lost your job, and you've been thrown in jail, and then somebody is broadcasting the word of God. I mean, so let's all be encouraged that we get to encourage persecuted Christians. There's another great one.
Here's one from Uzbekistan. "We have been praying for my mother and telling her about Jesus for many years. Through many tears and with much hope, we pleaded with the Lord to change her heart. Recently, we asked her to listen to your teaching with us. We rejoice to tell you that she is now a sister in Christ. For years, we have claimed Psalm 126:5, and today our joy is complete. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy."
Fantastic. And Steve, this is why we go to the hard places. We don't only broadcast where we get lots and lots of letters and emails and texts. We want the whole word to go to the whole world. And when we get even a little response like this, it's a big response, but I mean, just a small number, we're so encouraged. Now, we want to do something I don't think we've ever done. You are always encouraging people to join the World Prayer Team. And
I am.
Perhaps there's one or two people out there listening who just haven't
heard
heeded
that
your call. And,
yes.
And so what we want to do is actually read you what a World Prayer Today email is like. Okay, so here's a World Prayer Today email from January 6th, and it starts this way. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. And then, Steve, why don't you pick up what the rest of this World Prayer Today email says?
Gladly. "That's the scripture verse our ministry partners are shouting from the rooftops in Central Asia. Here is the letter explaining why. We were confronted with major legal problems in Kazakhstan. It was clear to us that our mission to preach the gospel to the peoples of this land was not yet complete. But how do you move forward when there are laws against our activities? We were dealing with serious problems. Looking back, we can see in very practical ways how the Lord was quietly helping us. Our work continued despite limitations. Another country in Central Asia also had serious problems. Our local partner required a special license, and it seemed impossible to obtain it. For a long time, we looked together for solutions and had the impression of being in a dead end. Much prayer ensued, but I wondered, almost desperately, if we would find a way to continue. Greg, why don't you continue?
Then it all suddenly changed. One day, for no apparent reason, we had a new starting point, and in just a few months, we had the necessary approval in hand. After months, the good news came from the Ministry of Justice that the documents were in order. Looking back, we can certainly agree with Proverbs 18:20. Each time we ran to God, He not only protected us, He provided for us. Please keep praying that this year, more people will be reached with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so, Steve, that's a World Prayer Today email. So if you've never gotten an encouraging, prayer-inspiring email like that, please listen to what Steve says and sign up today.
That's right. Go to ttb.org/pray. You'll be glad you did. It will revolutionize the way you go through your email every morning, Monday through Friday. Greg, why don't you pray for us as we open the study?
Father, thank you for allowing us the privilege of taking your word to the whole world, even to the difficult parts. We pray you'll encourage many who are being persecuted and suffering for their faith in Jesus, and encourage us now as we study your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we're in this section here in the Epistle of James where he's giving a verification of genuine faith. This is the test of it. This is the proof of it. This is actually the comfort of it. If you have genuine faith, you'll find God will test you. And He does that for a purpose, to prove that you are His child. And God tests faith not only by trials, but He never tests faith by evil. And God tests faith by the Word. And that's where we are today. And never by man's words, but by His word. And doing, not doctrine, is really the final test of faith. Actually, just knowing is not enough. Now, don't misunderstand me. Knowing is very important, and He'll make that very clear here in just a few moments. In fact, at verse 23. But I want to finish up with verse 22. He says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Now he says, "Be ye." Now that's not the ordinary verb, eimi, for be at all. Actually, it's the word genesthe, and it can be translated to be born. It literally means to become or to be born, something that comes into existence. And it's not the imperative of the regular verb to be, but rather this verb, genesthe, which now means be ye. That is, you have been born again. In other words, he's talking here to believers. God is not asking the unsaved to do anything. God is not asking you to do that. God is talking here to his children. And He doesn't command the devil's children to do anything. As we said, he never spanks the devil's children, and he never asks them to do anything. He doesn't ask the unbelieving world today to do anything. He wants to tell them he's done something. I remember as a boy that we'd be playing baseball on the school lot on Saturday, and that to me was a wonderful thing. I played first base, and I look forward to that. We played the different teams in the other schools around as high school, and generally ended up in a fight. Didn't make any difference who we played. But one day I saw my dad coming up. I knew he wasn't coming up to see the game. And he came up and told me that he had an errand, some work for me to do. Fact of the matter is, I had neglected when I left home of taking care of my Saturday chores. And he came up. Now, he didn't ask any other boy there to do anything. He asked me, "You know why? I'm his son." These other boys weren't his son. God's not asking you till you become, but be ye. Those of you that have become a son of God, now be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now be a doer of the word. And this is something that's very important. It's something very difficult for us preachers. I remember back east, I played golf with a doctor friend of mine back there, wonderful Christian. And a man wanted to join us, and so my doctor friend, who apparently knew him, he shook hands with him, and he says, "And this is Dr. McGee here." And, "Oh," he says, "we'll have two doctors." And so I wanted to make clear what kind of a doctor I was. I said, "I'm a doctor that preaches, and he's a doctor that practices." Well, we need more DDs that practice, by the way, as well as preach. And that's what he's saying here. "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Beyer put it in a little poem like this: "It's easier to preach than to practice. It's easier to say than to do. Most sermons are heard by the many, but taken to heart by the few. Be ye doers of the word." Now, God is talking to his children, and he is saying that if you're just a hearer of the word, you're only deceiving your own selves. And we need to recognize that he is making it very clear that hearing leads to doing, not to ritual and that which is habitual, not that which is drab or monotonous, not that which is routine. And the word for doers here, and by the way, this is where I get my name for the Doers translation of the Bible, actually, it has to do with exciting living, thrilling experience, creative action, doing something for God, motivated by an inner desire. We began this radio ministry and began to build up our staff, and I think I have with me here one of the finest staffs, and I know it's the finest I've ever had in my ministry, and it seems that God sent each individual to us, and each one of these individuals have made a marvelous contribution. Those of you who get our logs have commented how attractive it is. I never thought of it, but my secretary does that. These are dedicated workers, and my feeling is that in God's work today, that we need that which is creative, that which is dynamic, that which produces today. And he says, don't be a hearer only. Well, there's a difference between being a student and an auditor in a class. I used to have quite a few auditors come into downtown Los Angeles when I was teaching at the Institute there. And I had more trouble with the auditors than I ever did have with students. They were constantly sending me letters and cards telling me I was too hard on the kiddos, and they didn't know that you had to be hard with hard boil, but the kids knew I was kidding half of the time, and somebody wrote a card says, "It's a shame the way you treat God's little lambs." And I read it to the kids, and they let up a big howl. Well, I want to tell you, those little lambs, some of them were old goats. They were hard to get into action, by the way. But those auditors, they never had to take an exam. They never had to make any preparation. They never wrote any papers. They never did any study. And they never got any diploma or any degree. They just sat there. And the very interesting thing is that they just didn't do anything. Faith leads to action. It won't make you an auditor. Someone said to a man that got his wagon stuck in the mud, this man was always talking about his faith, and he never did anything for God. He just talked about his faith. And so when the man came along, saw him stuck in the mud and couldn't get the wagon out, he says, "Well, you sure are well established in the faith. May I say to you, what we need to do today is to keep moving. After we get established, we need to keep moving in the faith and not get stuck in the mud." And he says here, we deceive ourselves, and self-deception is one of the worst things. John says those that say they don't have any sin in their lives, they don't deceive anybody but themselves. And it's very easy to rationalize your actions, rationalize the fact you don't do anything. Now, in verse 23, we come to the danger of the word, and there's this danger. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror." Now, he's like a man that beholds his natural face in a mirror. Actually, the word mirror here refers in that day to a very highly polished piece of brass that was used. And a mirror is a very interesting thing. It's a picture of the Word of God. When you look into a mirror, you get a reflection of yourself. You see yourself in the mirror. And you see yourself as you really are. You remember the fairy story that, and I forget a lot of the fairy stories, but this one I know concerned, I think it was two sisters. One was very beautiful and the other was not. And the one that was not was very much concerned, and she did everything she could to make herself beautiful, and she'd go look in the mirror. And the mirror talked back to her. She'd say to the mirror, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest one of all?" Well, mirror told her. And the Word of God is just like that. The Word of God tells you just what you are, just as you are. If you have seen pictures of President Lincoln, you know that there's some pictures, there's a wart on the side of his cheek. On others, it's not there. The artist that wanted to paint him began to have President Lincoln to move around. He says, "President Lincoln, would you sit here?" And then this man would move his easel, and he'd have him shift a little. And President Lincoln began to smile because he saw what he was doing. He was trying to get him into a position where the wart would not show. And then finally the man was satisfied. Now he says, "President Lincoln, how do you want me to paint you?" President Lincoln says, "Paint me just like I am, wart and all." Well, that's what the mirror will tell you. You got a wart, it'll show it up. The Word of God tells you what you are. And that is one of the reasons that many of us don't like to spend too much time in the presence of a mirror. Now, there's something else here that is quite interesting. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror." Well, somebody says there ought to be a woman. Well, the woman carries the little mirror around with her to make sure her makeup's on straight. But what about men? Do they look in mirrors? They're just as vain, friends. And there's always a mirror in a men's washroom, just same as there is in the women's, because the man likes to make sure his tie is straight and his hair is combed as it should be, and especially the way they wire it today, almost in a hairnet. And they spray it so that we're living in that kind of a day when the way you look seems to be very important, and a mirror, therefore, reveals that. Now, there's a danger, though, of looking into the mirror and seeing your natural face in the mirror and not having an effect upon you. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and immediately forgetteth what manner of man he was." Now, what he's doing here is answering what he had said before. Up in verse 19, he says, "Be swift to hear, slow to speak." And the thought in being swift to hear means to give it all your attention. Be alert to the Word of God, as we indicated before. Now, what he's saying here, don't treat it casually. Don't go over it hurriedly like that. "For any man that's just a hearer of the word and not a doer, if it doesn't lead to action, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. He beholdeth himself and he goeth his way and immediately forgetteth what manner of man he was." The Word of God says you're a sinner. You read that, you don't like it. You pass over it. And that's a reason today that my feeling that textual preaching is outmoded. I think that we need to go through the Word of God, not pull out nice, sweet verses here and there. God gave it not in verses, by the way. Verses are man-made. And I think that you're to take it as it is, just like that. And it's a mirror that reveals what you are. The Word of God, I think, today is crystal clear. It reaches down and tells you who you are. Why, a man that goes to a doctor and has an x-ray made, as I did, and it reveals a cancer. And the doctor says, "I've looked at that x-ray, and you got 7 spots on your lungs." Now, I could have said, "Look, doctor, I don't put much confidence in x-rays, and I just think I'll ignore it and forget it." And I've known a lot of people that have done that. They have died. "I wanted treatment just quick as I could get treatment, if you please." So you can't afford to read the Word of God and not respond to it, because it demands you respond, and if you don't, you are responsible. Now, if the doctor tells you you've got cancer in your lung and you do nothing and die, is the doctor responsible? And he absolutely is not responsible at all. And God has given you his word. That's what James is talking about. And he uses this illustration, like a man. And of course, it means a woman too. And the word will take him back to when he was born again. Now, what he's saying is, look, you're not growing. You're actually leaving your first love. And he says, remember. And God's calling them back. There's a danger today, as I heard a song leader down in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He's a good country boy from North Georgia. He got up and he says, now, let's stand up and sing, standing on the promises. And he says, the trouble is we sing standing on the promises when we're sitting on the premises. Well, that's what we're told not to do here. The mirror is one that reveals, and we're not to forget what it said. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It reveals us as we are and penetrates below the surface. And the Bible today is not a popular book, I don't think. It's the bestseller, but the worst read. It just shows you who you are. Many years ago in East Tennessee, this story went around that a tourist came and camped up in the mountains among some of these mountaineers, and they didn't see many tourists in those days. And when these tourists left after they had been camped for about a week, one of these mountaineers, he went looking around where they camped, and he found several things, and among them he found a mirror that had been left by the tourists, and he'd never seen a mirror before. And he looked into it longingly, and when he looked at it, he said to himself, I never knew my pappy had his picture took. Well, actually, he was looking at someone that looked like his father had looked, but he's looking at himself, you see. And so he was very sentimental about it. He slipped into the house and climbed up in the loft on the ladder, and he hid the mirror. And his wife saw him do that. She didn't say anything. But after he went out of the house, she went up to look around what it was he's taken up there to hide. She found the mirror, and she looked in it. And she said, so that's the old hag he's been running around with. May I say to you, it's so easy to read the Word of God and think it's a picture of somebody else, picture you, and it's a picture of me, my friend. And now we have here a design of the Word in verse 25. He says here, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth in it, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Now notice it's not word, doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. And the thee ought not to be, that's just the doer of work, if you please. Now here's the design of the Word. The thing of it is, the mirror would be down on the ground, and that day you'd have to stoop down. Means you need an humble mind and the perfect law of liberty. And this is not the Mosaic law, it's the law of grace. And we're going to be talking about that. James does not talk about law here in the way Paul did. When Paul talks about law, it's the Mosaic law. When James talks about it, it's the law of faith, because there is the law of faith also. There's love and law in the Old Testament, and there's law and love in the New Testament. If the Son make you free, ye shall be free indeed. But wait a minute. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He also said, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law. What law? His law. And John says in his first epistle, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. When you're driving down the freeway and it's loaded with traffic, also that freeway's loaded with laws. And if you want to have freedom to drive down that, you sure better obey the laws or you'll be in trouble. Not as liberty in Christ, and it's the only true freedom. You can be sure of one thing, that when you're in Christ, you're going to obey him. His laws are not hard. They're not rigorous. And because you're a child of God, your freedom doesn't entitle you to break the Ten Commandments. The laws are for the weak. The laws were given to the natural man, but now there are laws for the child of God, and that's very important, by the way. Now, I'd like to finish that next time, and we're moving very slowly here. We will finish this chapter and get into the next one. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
To go deeper in your personal study of God's Word, you can visit ttb.org, and be sure to check out all the great resources that are available to you. Most of them are free. Or you can always call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Tomorrow, Dr. McGee tells us about God's war on poverty and his war on riches. I hope that you'll hop aboard the Bible bus and join us.
Sin hath left a crimson stain.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know him yet?